Okay, Billing and I are just merely facilitators for this workshop, meaning that we will just push things along. And we, as much as you do, we'd like to learn more about the role of the church in the local community. Okay? So let's start with the workshop. Lord, we commit this workshop into your hands. Help us to know what is the role of the church. What is our church as a local community, and what can we do to help to share your message? As we sang just now in the song, the vision, whether it's across the street or over the world, it is the same. So we pray that, Lord, you teach us and show us clear vision of how the church should be in the local community, so that it may have its impact for your glory. So we commit this time into your hands and pray that you make this workshop a profitable time for everyone. Pray in your precious name.
Amen.
Okay, this workshop, basically we're going to look at how the local community view the early church for a start, because the early church is where everything started, because the church was born on the day of Pentecost. Remember that when the Lord first started, he only had 12 disciples. He started with the 12, and they are a little community of people who really follow the Lord and see how he preached, see how he served, see how he heals, and see how he interact with people even opposing him, like the Pharisees and the scribes. So this community, small community of 12 people, they follow the Lord. They observe the Lord. And what the Lord wants is that through this 12, that eventually his message will reach the whole world. So later on we saw that after he was killed, he was crucified to the cross. There are many people in Jerusalem at that time, for the feast, and they were sort of becoming part of the group that murdered the Lord Jesus. This same group, 50 days later, will hear the message that caused them to be cut to the heart. Okay? So before that happened, there was 120 people, 120 disciples of the Lord who were meeting in the upper room. And what did they do? They prayed together in one accord. They are awaiting for the promise of the Holy Spirit. And then on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit descended upon them like a tongue of fire. And they were filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, and they went out to the street speaking in different tongues. So if you're from Africa, you hear a tongue from the African region. If you came from Asia, you hear a tongue spoken from the Asian region. So the people hearing the message of the gospel in various different tongues, it was quite amazing. And then Peter stood up and preached. And those people who heard Peter's preaching, they realized what they have done. They have crucified the anointed, the Messiah, the Son of God. And they'll cut to the heart and say to Peter, "What should we do?" And Peter said, "Repent and be baptized." So that day, from 120, it became 3,120. So the community of believers was formed, and they became something that is quite amazing to behold, because they had an impact to their local communities in Jerusalem. We'll take up the story in Acts chapter 2, verse 41 to 47. It's on the first page. I'll just read that. "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuingly daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who are being saved. So this is a very beautiful description of the early church. We're going to look at that, and then we're going to continue to look at how the local community today built the church. Then we want to look at how the church can be the light of the world, can be the city that was set on the hill, so that people can see the good works and glorify God. And then we're going to look at some practical things that we can do together. What can we do and what should we do? So we're going to investigate those practical things that we can do. We already started doing some of those. I would like to see, is there any possible avenues that we can explore as we involve our life more intimately with the local community that we want to serve. Okay, so looking at these few verses in Acts, how did the local community view the early believers? Okay, this workshop is going to be beneficial if all of you are actively participating. Okay, so that will make our jobs as facilitator much easier. So early church, as I say just now, from 12 become 120, become 3,120. And how did the local community view them? Anyone make a start?
Having favor with all the people.
Okay, having favor means that they get along well. They get along well with all the people. Why do they get along well?
They provide for it.
They
provide for it by selling their position.
Yeah, they provide what they need, what people need to one another by selling some of the things that they have. In fact, some of them sold everything to give, to share among them. Because the people at Jerusalem at that time, they came for the feast. So many of them came from outer regions. They only brought with them sufficient funds to live for a certain amount of time, and then they had to go back to where they come from. But because of what happened at Pentecost, they continued to stay there because they want to learn as much as they can before they go back. They want to hear from the apostles. They want to learn from one another, and that they want to enjoy that worship with God together. And therefore they stay a bit longer, so they will have need for food, lodging, and so forth. So many of the believers in Jerusalem sold what they have and share with those brothers and sisters who came from other parts of Jerusalem. So they share what they have, and the Bible tells us also they have this simplicity of heart, they have this gladness, this joy. And I believe that would be part of the reason why they make an impact in the local community. People see them as peculiar. People see them, these group of people are strange. They have such a joy that is sort of difficult to describe because something happened to them. Their life took a turn for the better. Their life took a turn towards God, and they became different, peculiar people. Any other observation you can make about how the local community look at them?
I don't have an observation about the local community, but one thing that could be taken from this, maybe, is that paying attention to our own local community and what's going on. So that could be reading the newspaper or being aware of like the news around, or having a look around about where the needs of the community are. Because here, clearly they have a monetary, maybe even a policy issue. Mm-hmm. So it requires them to sell the money so that they can provide money to the people. Mm-hmm. But for us, like Auburn or Kellyville, there might be different needs, you know?
No.
So yeah, Auburn, I mean, like, you guys are doing a good job with like food, for example. So, I mean, that could be something.
Yeah, we're going to explore that a bit more further down the road about how the world maybe look at us. Yeah, I think that's a very important observation.
Also, there's a few things here that is spoken of in the 1 Peter 4 that we've been going through yesterday in the messages. Can you see the similarity between 1 Peter 4:1 to 11 and what the early, how the early church lived that out? It's all it's here. Can you see anything?
If you want to remind, so what 1 Peter 4, 7-11 is the reference to the text.
Yeah, especially from verses 7 to 7 to 11, 7 to 10. Can you see the similarity, how they lived out 1 Peter 4?
They have love for one. Yes. They have fervent love for one
love
another.
Love for one another.
How long this lasts?
Not very long. Yeah.
Particularly how long they last? Because the local community view them that this is something that is not very common that happened. Definitely, probably the first ever happened a community like that. It seems like every need was met. Mm. And then like everybody was very fervent. Like their heart was so hot and they wanted to give, and they were so ready to give.
Yeah.
Mm. And I wonder how, did you know particularly how long they last for a year, 3 months, 3 weeks? Or?
Well, I'm sure that it's more than 3 months. Neil, do you know how long that first church, the community spirit, that sell all they had? We don't really know.
We don't really know. Mm-hmm.
Until the persecution came, right?
Yeah. By the time you get to Acts 7, you're probably a year or two later.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Okay, they have fervent love for one another. They were given the hospitality, right, without grumbling. And then they serve one another. Each one has gift that they serve one another. And so these are actually covered in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7 to 11. So from the time of early church to the time when Peter wrote the epistle, actually it's been many, many years. But the request from the Holy Spirit or from God is the same. In the sense that they want you to be watchful and prayerful, have fervent love for one another, be hospitable to one another, and so forth. So these are the things that we're going to look at afterwards a bit further. So the local community viewed the early believers, the early church, in a very positive light. And of course, later we read in the book of Acts, there are problems that arises, okay? Some people lied to the Holy Spirit, and they were dead because of that. That is quite amazing. And persecution that arises, that causes the believers to be beaten up, to be questioned by the scribes and Pharisees and the local authorities and so forth. Some believers were put into prison. Some were killed by stoning. And we have Stephen, the martyr. And we saw that there are persecution that was targeting the Christians, that put them, they were put into prisons, they were beaten up, and so forth. And Paul was one of the main prosecutors, in a sense, until he met the Lord on the way to Damascus. Okay, now we're going to skip to present day.
Okay. There's one more thing about the early church in Acts 5:13.
Yep.
Nobody dared join them. None of the rest dared join them, but the people esteemed them highly, and believers were added. So they saw something so different, but they couldn't just go and say, yeah, me too.
And in the early church also, there are many signs and miracles that was performed as well. And because of that a lot of people were attracted to come and see why do they have that sort of power.
I would say there's a unity in them that amazed the world.
It's
very good. We got some good contribution there. Now we're going to jump to the present day. How do you think the world viewed the current church? Not us in Owen and Calvary in particular, but just in general sense. From the time of the early church until now, there is a big shift in the way the world viewed the church, especially in the last 10 years. The church is probably not looked at by the world in a very positive light. So how do you think the world look at the church today?
Well, I have two relatives, one from each side, one from my side. One of them say, "Oh, if I become a believer, I'm going to have to give my money to the church." And then one of Ichu's relatives said, when she wants to follow the church, she immediately prepares some money, thinking that the church is going to ask her for money. So, so the world, some people in the world think like that the church is after your money.
And what Pedro shared yesterday, remember, he said Uruguay, if you go to a church, they ask you for money 10 times in one service. So that is quite ridiculous, but it is in fact quite widely practiced in some countries. So the church being viewed by the world as an organization that keep asking for money, as if they are very, very poor.
Does anyone try to reverse that and pay people to go to church?
That's what Constantine did. In the
380 something, and then they pay people to be baptized. Eventually, a lot of unbelievers, they're not believers, but they just want to come to the church to be paid. Eventually, the church become corrupt. Many worldly things come in. Yeah, that's
So Emperor Constantine, he wanted to become a Christian. He said that he has a mission when he go out to war. He'll be holding up the cross. And in that battle, he won the victory. And after that, he declared himself to be a Christian. And but he is not. We don't really know. But because, and then he, as emperor, he wants all his subjects to also become Christians. So what he did is he started to give gifts to the people who want to become Christian. And all the people came in with all their practices of pagan worship and so forth. And that's quite sad, but that is what happened. And later on, that became the Roman Catholic Church. So, if you look at the recent statistics, there are almost half or 50% of Australians identify themselves as Christians, but most of them do not attend the church. Someone says,
yeah, I think how the world views the church, I think that there are two churches that they view. In a sense, two different types. There's the churches which are very modern, the churches which endorse homosexual marriage and all that sort of stuff. And they see them as simply irrelevant, because what's the difference? And people leave those churches because there's nothing. Might as well go to the club, no difference. And then there's the churches which stick to the Bible and preach the Bible, and they're considered dangerous, divisive, toxic, hateful. What was it the Victorian Premier said? The views were bigoted and hateful. The views that say, for example, that homosexuality is a sin. Yeah.
I think that's probably within the Protestant Christian isn't it? I think in Australia, when they put, because my colleague said that they're Christian, they're actually Catholic. Because what happens is they make them think they're Christian because they belong to the Catholic Church, because they were baptized when they were babies. Mm-hmm. So what happens is that they were baptized when they were babies, and then they get married at a church, mm-hmm. and then when they die, the funeral will be at a church. So that's the understanding they're Christian.
Yeah, it's pretty irrelevant.
But I try to relate to them being, I don't want to say, oh no, you're not Christian. I don't think we should do that. Like trying to say, I have one colleague came to me that, I'm a born again Christian. So that's interesting. Yeah. Mm. So I was able to relate with her because she actually went to Hillsong Church and had some understanding about what it means to be a Christian.
Right.
Yeah. Why is it important that we know local community about the church? Because there's always going to be some people.
I think it's a good question. Why do we value the view of the local community towards what the church is. So, in a sense, do you think it's important that we know what they're thinking about when we try to talk to them?
I think it's important to understand what we care for people around us. It used to be, because I come from China, right? When we believe in China, we have this understanding that we are different from the rest of the world because we are saved. We are, yes, it's true. But the church, it's like we are very separated. I think it took me years to come back to realize that God actually put me where He wanted to be. Like we were talking about yesterday, like God put us where He wants us to be. Like we need to come back to earth, not just living high up in the air somewhere. Does that make sense?
Yeah, certainly. But I think what Neil has shared us now is probably a very good summary of how the church is viewed today by the world. In the sense that we are probably quite divided in terms of the way we practice what we believe. And that is something that we need to be aware of when we go out and reach out to others.
I think, you know, the idea of why do we care about what they think? It's not so much we're going to be governed by what people think, but, you know, people have walked up to me and said, "What's that on your face?" And they go, "Oh, I didn't realize, you know, that I had something on my face," or something like that, you know. And so sometimes when you find out, you think you're doing all right, I think I look fine. And then somebody comes and, you know, shows me what they see, which is different from what I see. Mm-hmm. And then I've got something to fix. So sometimes if we find out what the community thinks of us, we might be shocked that they think like that, but then realize that that's what they're seeing. Is that the truth or is that good? You know, maybe we need to learn from that.
Okay. I'm aware that some of us here do not come from Auburn or Caliview gatherings. So this question will also apply to where you come from or what church you go to. How does the local community view us? So now I'm talking about how the local communities look at Auburn, Caliview, or your place of worship where you go to. How do they see us, in particularly? Let's, for example, let's talk about Auburn. How would they see Auburn? How do you think the local community look at us?
Can I clarify? So when we're talking about this, you only want to discuss about exactly on the local, like where the church is located, is that right?
Yeah.
So with Caliview, we only talk about Caliview. So it's nothing to do with our own lives, is that right? Where I live, but to me, local means like
Wentworthville,
where I live, and also where I work, my colleagues, and my family as well, my relatives, like my in-laws. Everybody that God puts me in.
Yeah. This is more of the local community, let's say, in Auburn area.
Okay.
Or in Caliview area.
Okay. Or where you meet. We're only talking in that context. Right?
Yeah.
Now I understand. Yeah.
Because the whole point is to see how we as a group can reach out to the community. So your one is very important. And that is the topic.
Just a different context.
Yeah,
here.
Yeah, it's a topic in itself.
So we're not going everywhere.
I would say that most people view us as a predominantly Chinese sort of a group.
It's obvious.
Is that a true statement?
It's obvious.
Okay. So Neil is among us. But he's probably half Chinese. But that's the true understanding that people have of us when they look at us. Because they look at the people that go in, the people that come out, they say, "Oh, mainly Chinese."
Well, what about the people that are, what about the characteristics of the people in Auburn? Because then that will help.
Yeah.
That will help shed, like, give us an understanding of what they might. Because probably in Auburn there's a high percentage of the Muslim population, there's a mosque there as well.
Mm.
Yes. So they might, they might have some similar views, but a lot of the ways that we practice maybe.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay, for example, a Muslim or in Auburn, they will not automatically walk into our church. Right? Unless that they go there for a specific purpose. Okay? So, for example, we recently have the food distribution through hands and feet. So some Muslim or Middle Eastern person, they will come in because they have that need to get food, to get some help from us. But generally on Sunday, you will not see a Muslim walk into our meeting because they know that we are mainly a Chinese congregation. Okay, that's probably quite a correct sort of understanding how the local community view us.
Also, I've seen some believers, okay, they're not Chinese. When they walk in, they see
the congregation.
Us, they walked out again. I've encountered not a lot, but there are those who do that. Yes, I think they feel uncomfortable. Yeah.
What about the fact that a lot of them don't speak English as well?
Because
that might be discouraging. I mean, when they say they do, then they might not understand the service. So,
yeah, language could be an issue as well.
Somebody said to me once, there are certain buildings called churches, there are certain people who go in and come out again, and what's that got to do with me?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just, you know, all they're seeing is people going into a building and coming out again. But there's nothing there, nothing to see.
Would there any possibility that people might see us as a cult?
No.
No.
I mean, we are believers in Christ, and if people walk in and see us, majority is Chinese, they think it's a Chinese church, right? It becomes a divide between Australian and Chinese or Chinese and Muslim. So the best thing is not to hang anything decorating, it's all Chinese. But Chinese writing, Chinese book, Chinese posters on the door, they will be put off. Best thing is to put English language. People can read, they can see, and meeting in English, they can understand. And yeah, that's.
So it's important to present us.
Present ourselves to them.
In the community.
It has to be all in English. And if you want to gain the English Caucasian or the Muslim people, we need to speak English. But English is a general language in Australia. So we have to present them in the English speaking. Even our food needs to be like, if you want to gain Muslim, right? We need to bring Muslim food. If we want to gain Caucasian, we have to bring Caucasian food. Right? If we bring all our Chinese food, they come in, it's not their family food, they probably, it's a Chinese meeting, and then they all, it's only for Chinese people, yeah. So we become a divisive between them and us, yeah.
At the moment, we do have Chinese and English, both, on our signage and things like that. You go to our website, we do have a Chinese and English version of the website. You can make a choice on that. So there's another story, okay? But yeah, it's people also look at us maybe as people who keep to ourselves. We don't have a lot of interaction until recently. Okay? So we don't have a lot of interaction, like you say people go into the building and they come out, got nothing to do with them because there's no interaction. But if there's interaction, then they can't say the same comment, saying they are business people in and people out. So that is very important to see that how we involve with the community. Now, the next things we want to talk about is that what can we do? Okay, what should we do to change the way the community look at us? Right? What do we need to do? But before we do that, let's say, why do we need to do that? Can we just leave them to live in peace and we live our own life as our church community and that would be sufficient? Fun?
Sorry, just to go back to the previous question, I don't understand points that were raised, mostly because there wasn't any official survey has been done or anything like this, so I'm not sure about the assumptions that are being made. But what we can get is the census data of 2021, and that will go a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure about what the points of views or whether people even care about the church. So I'm not sure if that's.
I think there's just what is it? Perceptions.
This one? Are you talking about this one?
The previous question.
Yeah, I guess Ichu and myself and some people here have been in this Christian assembly for 20, 30 years. And from my perspective, this is how we are viewed. Imagine 20, 30 years, we are very Chinese. We hardly reach out to the community as a community of believers. I know there are individual in the Chinese congregation, many of them individually reach out, and they have been very successful. But we haven't seen much as a community of believers actually doing something together. There are occasionally like the gospel concerts, the music concerts, but it's not consistent. It's here and there.
But that's what he's saying. He's saying that if you're not interacting with how would you know how they actually feel? I mean, you are now interacting with the community,
yeah.
And now you get more information. I think.
So, yes, we can't say that we have the authority on that. It's our own perceptions. Because we are still working predominantly with the first and second generation migrants when we started our gathering in Lincoln and then later on Auburn. So, in a sense that we are very much working with them, but we have very little interaction with the Arab, with the Middle Eastern or the people who are non-Chinese in Auburn and Kalibu. And we hope to be able to at least break some of those molds that people think of us. Because mainly we're still very much 95% or 90% Chinese.
Yeah, maybe I should change this to our perception.
Yeah.
How about that?
So
thank you for the clarification.
I'm not saying that the authority
or our perception
is how we feel.
Yeah.
We are being viewed. Yeah.
Our perception. Yeah.
Now, why do we need to be involved in the local community? Why do you think that is important?
Because our mission is the gospel.
That's right. Remember what AB shared with us? He said we need to follow the captain. So what did the captain say to us? Go. He asked us to go and disciples all nations, teaching them to obey what he teaches us. Okay, what he taught us. So he wants us to baptize them, he wants us to teach them, he wants us to, and we can see Jesus did that himself. Like when he go out, he did not just spend time in the shop, which he did, but he also interact very much with the community that is around Galilee and Judea and the whole region, even Samaria. So you can see how he interact with them, how he preach to them, heal them, meet their physical needs by feeding them sometimes, and he has compassion on them. See that he has compassion for them. And so that's how our captain interacts. Okay? And we therefore do need to involve with the local community because that's how he has set the example for us. In Luke chapter 6, verse 32 to 35, Jesus even tells us to show love and compassion to those who offer nothing in return. Right? That is to love them without expecting anything. So we have to evolve because that's how Jesus helps us to. Next, we say, we're asking, how can we be a city set on a hill from within ourselves? Okay? We as a local community of believers, how do we get to be what Jesus wants us to be a city set on a hill, to be a light of the world?
I think meeting the basic needs of human life, so food, shelter, water, and medical services or something like this.
Mm-hmm. Okay, meeting the basic needs. But there are other government agencies who are doing that, or charity organizations who are doing that. Are we offering something that is similar or different?
What do you mean?
Are they providing it before?
Hmm?
Are they providing it before? Do you know?
The government?
Or these organizations?
Well, my point is, I think being able to localize that is important, because I think if people are thinking about their basic needs, physical needs, they're unable to think about their spiritual needs. And to access the spiritual need, they in part need to be able to be given resources to fulfill their physical needs, as one means of that.
Going through government organizations can be very, very time consuming for them and very difficult to go through the process of having to do that.
Best thing is to gain seeker of the law. If they're not seeker of the law, if they're coming for like food distribution, you know, they just come for that. They hardly not to come back then. So best thing is to pray. So let the Holy Spirit give them the word. And we need to pray for seeking believers. They will eventually just keep coming because they're seeking the Lord. They want a meeting place with Christian believers.
If you look at these questions and the next question, you might say, what's the difference? Because they're both asking the same thing. So the next question is, how can we be a citizen of the hill reaching out? And I hope to investigate as a local community, how do we become effective to reach out? But before we reach out to others, what needs to be happening among us? Let's say the local community in our church, as a local community in Auburn and Caledonia, how can we become effective before we reach out to others?
Unity. We all need to have the same vision. We all need to have the same desire.
Yeah, that's right. We need to have the same vision, right? Have the same vision to reach out, to know why we are reaching out. Apart from obeying the commands of the Lord Jesus, we must also learn to live life together as a community of believers. So when people look at us and say, oh, these people are different because they love one another. You know when we are doing the hands and feet distribution? Yes, as I talk to people, some of them they actually went to other places to get help as well. They also go to other food distribution centers and other organizations for similar help. But quite a few of them tell me that this place is different. They see us as people who are firm, but very polite and loving. And we are always willing to go the extra mile for them, to help them. And they find us very easy to talk to, and they are happy to be among us. And I find that it's a very positive remark that I heard as I speak to them. And because of that, because we gain their trust, we gain their their friendship. When Paul and Jonathan, when Neil, they all stand up and preach to them for half an hour, they listen. They listen. They're willing to listen because they see us as genuine.
That's
love. Genuine people. Yeah.
And also, there is one or two instances where we had some misunderstanding. Not very. Yeah. And actually, the person who come to take the food and the person, one of brother or sister who was having in conflict with this person, they talked it through and say sorry to each other. And then this person still come and collect food from us today. So, you know, it's not like all rosy, you know. We have, there's sometimes some not very nice things happen, but we want, I'm glad we can resolve it with them. Yeah.
In your opinion, does Auburn have a vision?
Yes, I think so. Yeah. Our vision is to reach out. with the gospel, and we hope that we can make that in the life of others.
And how do we communicate that to people in the church?
He said, do we have a vision to reach out to the local communities? And how do we enforce that vision among ourselves so that people know?
Actually, this camp is one of them. Yeah. I mean, okay, personally, we are always challenged by our brother Neil. We have a planning team that goes on, that meets every fortnight. Okay, and then Neil will be telling, how about, we should be awake, we should be prepared. And he will suggest things and we'll pray it through before we present it to the congregation. And this camp is also one of them. We hope to share this vision with you that our need, from what I see, the brothers and sisters are really now being built up. Different groups of believers are helping each other, the young people in Sunday school, youth group. We older people are supporting them and running in the background. And I think we come to a stage where many of us believe we are ready to, even though we are not perfect, but we are ready to serve not only one another, but also ready to reach out to the community. So hopefully this camp is one of them that can inspire you, encourage you, and help you see this need to step out of our comfort zone.
And if you were to ask the question to those who go to Morgan Church, would they be able to communicate what you just said?
I don't know. I think I have to ask them. Yeah. I guess whatever we share, whatever you learn here, if it doesn't convict your heart, then it's very hard. I pray that the Holy Spirit can convict your hearts, because it's very hard to me to parrot what Neil say or what Ichu say if I'm not convicted from my heart. Yeah, so I mean, the Holy Spirit convict our hearts with the same vision.
At Kellyville, I have a colleague actually just live at Kellyville, and she's come to our church a few times, and she has a 13-year-old daughter. She actually, very much, I think they're quite ready to come, but it just, every time I invite them, there's always reasons they're not coming. Mm-hmm. And I've been trying to find opportunity for them to invite them as a come to our community. But because we live different suburbs and the house meetings are all over the places, mm-hmm. it was not easy for them to come to our meeting. It's always something that in the back of my head. Whilst we're talking about it, I was thinking about them. Mm-hmm. Something to be done. There's a lot more to be done. There are leads, and they're Chinese actually. Yeah. Not to say they reach out to the local, which are they'll probably.
I think the days has already gone. We expect people to come to us.
I know.
We really need to
But this is what we have at the moment. Like, you have to come, or else you won't get us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We really need to break that mold and go out. Mm-hmm. And we have to break away from our church walls and to go out to them. And you just think about ourselves. Let's say, for example, we look at ourselves. If we had never been Christians, we probably would have never met each other. Is that right? We won't have come to a Christian camp if we are not Christians. And we will probably be living different lives. I'd probably be dead by now if I wasn't a Christian. It's just the way that I live my life before I became a Christian. So we all have been saved. Jesus put us into a local community of believers. This morning is a beautiful time of worshiping. And it's a beautiful time to remember what the Lord done for us, did for us, and to be able to worship Him in that sort of intimate way. But we would not have done that if we are not Christians. So the reason why we want to reach out to the local community is that we want them to also have what we have. We really feel that what we have is precious, is eternal, and therefore we hope others can have that too. And that's the whole reason why we need to do that. As Christians, we have to be a strong community that really treasure our time together. Someone has written this. According to scriptures, the church is a community of Christians, okay, listen to this, who care for one another, love one another, host one another, receive one another, honor one another, serve one another, instruct one another, forgive one another, motivate one another, build peace with one another, encourage one another, comfort one another, pray for one another, confess sins to one another, esteem one another, edify one another, teach one another, show kindness to one another, give to one another, rejoice with one another, weep with one another, hurt with one another, and restore one another. Yet perhaps there are many more one another in the scripture you can find them. So we as a community need to do that, need to live together and really care and love and host and encourage and edify one another so that others may know that we are the Lord's disciples and then they also want to be among us and to have what we have. So let's continue.
In terms of vision,
yep.
You know, that's going to be a fairly general sort of a statement, but we recognize the need for a ministry to people who can't speak English, and obviously a ministry to new migrants and elderly people who can't learn English is important and ongoing. But we also recognize that if we're going to be part of the local community, we can't just restrict ourselves to Chinese people or Asian people who speak English, which is absurd.
Yeah.
And a contradiction of the gospel. And so, you know, to really be part of a community, we need to, as Leonard was saying, we need to use English and we need to present ourselves as being open to everybody. And then what we want is to see, ideally, a reflection of a community within the church. You know, we see old and young together, we love one another and respect one another. We see different languages, different ethnic groups together, respect one another and love one another. And through this unity, manifest Christ in the midst. So, I mean, that's just a pretty general sort of statement. And then you'd say, well, that sounds good, but how are you going to do that? And we're going to do that by waiting on the Lord and learning from him and taking small steps and, you know, step by step. But we don't want to, in terms of vision, we say, are we going to be just a group of people who all speak English and we just mind the children of the parents who are in the Chinese meeting? No, we're not going to be that. We don't want to be that. We want to be a group of believers and we want to know the richness of the church and all the gifts that the Lord has amongst his people, wherever they come from. If Auburn and Sydney is full of all different ethnic groups, then why shouldn't the Church of the Lord Jesus be full of all the ethnic groups, so long as they can speak English, you know, then we can be all together. And I reckon that witness to the world would be so powerful, wouldn't it? I mean, the world looks on and sees not just Chinese people coming out, but sees all sorts of people coming out. And these people who have the same God and worship the same Lord and love one another. I'm just trying to answer Barnes' thing about vision a little bit. You know, that's in general terms, that's the direction. But then obviously that's got to be specifically, how do we achieve that? Well, as you said, the camp is one part of it. Thinking about it, looking at our own lives and seeing what can we do.
Yeah, for example, this camp that we all use English, right? All of us now use English and be able to communicate in English. So the younger generation coming up will eventually become a major component of the church. And it's really, really looking to you to take that further, to break that perception that we are just Chinese speaking church. We are not. So hopefully that will change in the future.
Everyone can, not everyone's going to be
like if you just say things, it's all about modeling that behavior as well. So, yeah, okay, you can say it at church, you can come to the camp, and people just go to sleep, not think about it. But people start to notice when it comes from the top, you know, the people, the leaders, you know, are actually going out there and modeling that behavior, or modeling that vision, and then everyone else follows them.
Yeah, I quite agree with that.
Oh, yeah, just asking. So, like, hands and feet, you guys. So, I know you guys did like 10 minute, I don't know, whatever amount of time talk it was, but do you guys like sit down while they're having a meal, or is it like, oh, I'll have you 10 minutes walk on your way?
Yeah, the half an hour, 20 minutes of preaching, that is specifically for the gospel, but we also talk to them for an hour after that, because there is a time of an hour and then we'll serve tea and coffee and we'll talk to them. That's only particular to the hands and feet ministry. But there are other things that people are doing as well. So let's see how are other churches, let's say, serving their local community?
Reaching out. Oh, okay, sure, sorry.
We look at how other churches serve their local community. Do any of you know, like, say, we do hands and feet for distribution? What are other things? Say, any other activities that we can involve?
We do other churches? Or?
I know some groups, they cook dinner boxes and distribute it to the homeless people.
Oh. Yeah.
Dinner boxes.
Food distribution, but warm food.
Meals, they call it meals. Yeah.
Teaching English, obviously.
Sorry?
Teaching English.
Yeah.
Yes.
Teaching English.
Yes.
We have
not
endeavored to do that, but we have this to get started.
Yeah, but a lot of churches are doing that, yeah.
Some churches do men's sheds, which is like a carpentry or workings or workshop for men. So they gather all the men's and eat that. Few hours on a Saturday morning, they spend time with them, teaching them a skill at the same time reaching out to them.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea for the homeless people. Is that maybe anyone owns a business and they can provide them with a job? I know it's, it's easy to say, but I think obviously money is one thing, but it isn't just about giving them money. You could encourage them to build the skills to work. You know?
Yeah. For example, Emil and Roger had lots of skill in carpentry and upholstery. He could have be a person who can look to with the expertise to help people. But there are churches who are doing that. They set up men's sheds and they have a space for it where people can come in and get some training. At the same time, be given the gospel. English class, and you talk about some churches run prayer groups, where the mothers can come in with their preschool or school-age students, that they can, the mothers can then have a time where they can relax, and some other people will hand their children. Then the other ladies will go and talk to them about the gospel. So they are more focused towards the mothers. Some churches has youth drop-in centers, so that they can have young people drop in 5 days a week. After school, they come in, and there are people who can help them with their tuition, with some homework help. There will be activities like, you know, some games, and then just like a youth group, what youth group had on Friday, but they extend it to people from outside the church, not just within the church.
I think an extension of ESL would be helping people read, because, I mean, like, even people who are not English, helping them. Sounds kind of weird, but with literacy and understanding.
Yeah.
If they come into, you know, they may understand the basic message of what's going on, but even among us, I would say, people may benefit from that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Nursing home.
I've seen churches do like clean up events at the park and stuff.
Clean up the
Clean up events.
Yeah, we can involve in that too. There are There are also nursing homes and hospital visits that we can do. Some of us are already doing that, but there are more people can will be welcome to do that, to just talk to the people and be able to be a friend to them. Some churches do some sort of meeting group for ladies, and they also use that as an opportunity for the gospel too.
You need to provide clothes for people.
Yeah, provide affordable clothes to people.
Yeah, some churches run op shops. Like they receive a donation, they open a shop. I think when did your church do that?
Yeah.
But I'm not sure whether that's seen it as an outreach for gospel or just for to sell stuff out.
Depends how you do it.
Yeah, how it's done.
Yeah, because I think there's
things are very cheap though. Especially baby stuff, they're like 5 cents. They're cheap. Mm-hmm. I think that's a good one.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of other things. Food distribution. They may just distribute food without actually preaching the gospel or sharing the gospel.
Yeah, just giving the needs without giving.
Yeah, so we can do all this. But so we have to be very conscious if we take up anything to have that, to be conscious that this is not just what we are doing. We need to do more to share the gospel purposely, isn't it?
I sort of look at browsing the internet, just check what other churches are doing. There was one church that stood out, and it's called Hope Church 2508. So it basically is a church that's about south of Sydney by an hour's drive in Ellensburg. Now what did they do? They are doing community pantry. They set up a food storage area where people can come in, pay a very little amount, like say $5 or $10, and with that you can get a certain selection of food essentials that you can take home based on what you need. They run a youth center. That means that they are 5 days a week. They are welcome young people after school to come in to get some help. They will do games for them. They will give them tuition help. They will give them homework help and so forth. And every Friday, they run a community kitchen. That means that they cook food and feed the hungry every Friday night. And then they also have mentorship, as I mentioned just now, 2 days a week. And they did that in association with the local Anglican church as well. They do MOPS, which is Mother of Preschoolers, so that like a prayer group time where the mothers can come in. We also do CAP money calls, means that they actually provide training with people who have no budgeting skills, because a lot of people get into poverty because they don't know how to budget. So these calls teach them how to budget. They also mentor kids, so they work with local schools and see kids with special needs or special problems, and they will help them, mentoring them and help them. And they, to enable them to do all this work, they also provide Bible courses or discipleship courses to their local church community, so that they can go to a 5 weeks of this course, gain some knowledge about how to help people, then they can go out and do this work.
Would it help if people within, because you talked about how we can do it outside, but people within the church, teaching them how to reach out properly?
Mm-hmm.
Like actually having a set time, because reaching out just might be, you know, going out there. I get that. You've got to actually go out and experience it, but I guess maybe in helping people or explain to people what reaching out actually means.
Mm-hmm.
What that
yeah, I think that's helpful. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
I'm one of them. I wonder how. When Cedric and Joy shared about they have an evangelism training, I wish I could put up my hand and join them, because I think
people.
Even though I can share the gospel with the Sunday school kids, I find it when it comes to one-on-one, I'm usually stuck for words and not sure how to go about, how to share the gospel or how to interact with someone or how to do life with them. I think it would be nice
to be trained here.
There's some training.
To get the words out.
Yeah, some people it's very natural for them, you know.
But
yeah.
Teaching is a piece of skill. It's a real skill.
It's a skill,
you have to develop. And I think a lot of people I mean, like, it was mentioned a lot of times this weekend, learning how to teach, and it's an art.
Mm.
People that need to learn how to actually learn
and
communicate what's in their mind.
Mm. How to communicate, isn't it? Evangelize, communicate.
Yeah. We're running out of time,
so
we need to push on. What we are currently doing, we are doing food hands and feet food distribution, as I mentioned, it is quite a good project that we're doing now. And that give us plenty of opportunity to reach out to people who are not otherwise coming to the meeting place in Melbourne. But they came in because they need help. And because they need help, and therefore we had the opportunity to talk to them.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that is a very, very useful and a very useful way for us to connect or to be involved in a local community.
Mm-hmm.
We also host some community events. I think a couple of times we joined the Christmas in the Garden, where we set up a stall in association with the local council, and then people will come for the event, they will talk to us. So we help them make some bracelets and use the opportunity to talk to them. I don't think there's any conference come through those events, but we do meet people and be able to talk to people. Nursing homes and hospitals, yes, we are doing that as well. We go and visit Cherrybrook Christian Retirement Center and go there once a month. And we'll go there more often. But we also starting to going to have visits for local open hospital as well. Yvonne is actually a chaplain, assistant chaplain to visiting Liverpool hospitals and Auburn Hospital.
Not the Auburn, only the
Liverpool. Yeah. Yeah. But there's a Catholic, nursing home in Auburn. Reach out to us, ask whether we can help. So we will be helping them as well.
So how do people get involved?
Huh?
How do people get involved? Do we just ask?
For example, if you want to help with the Auburn Hospital or nursing home visit, you can contact Jonathan.
And Cherrybrook one, you can contact me.
Okay, can we do more? What are our obstacles and difficulties?
Well, we've talked about it. We'll get closer to doing English teaching, probably. But another thing is just simply street witnessing. Going out the street with some tracks with a view to meeting people, It's not just about handing out papers, but it's about getting opportunity to meet people and have conversation with them and so on. I mean, a lot of it's about, I think if you ask most people how they came to the Lord, most people are going to tell you that it was through friends or family, somebody that they knew. It's not that common that somebody picks up a paper and believes, It's more likely that they talk to a friend or got to know somebody or a member of their family, help them to come to know the Lord. So, that getting to know people is really important. And that, like when we're distributing the food, we're not just sort of pushing the gospel onto people cold, we're actually getting to know people and becoming friends with them. And that's I think kind of important. So when I talk about street witnessing, I don't just mean shouting at people in the street. I mean getting to know people in the street. And if you do that regularly, if you go, like every Saturday or something, if you go to a certain place, you very soon get to know local people and meet them second time, third time, fourth time. And that's kind of good. And the benefit of that too is that you get to learn what other people are thinking, what they're seeing, and you hear the questions that people are asking, and it challenges you to be able to answer them, learn how to answer them.
I have never told you this, but I was very skeptical when Hands and Feet Ministry started our church. So the first few months I did not go at all because I was skeptical. But later on, when I had the opportunity to go, And a few weeks in, and I realized that actually it's quite a valuable involvement that we are doing to be able to speak to people and to see their hearts open to the gospel, and because we want their friendship. And you say true friends and family that you get to know the Lord. And that's quite true too. If we became their friends, they know that they can trust us, and when we tell them something, they pay attention. And I think that is very valuable. Okay, we have to sort of finish off now, but basically the other thing that suggested towards the end of this this little template. Like, we can think about turning our existing ministry hours off. For example, we have a choir. Maybe the choir can take their music to the street. Maybe the choir can take the music to their nursing home. So we can extend our ministry outside of our church walls. Maybe the other ministry that you can think about, current ministry that is very able to focus in our church, is there any way we can make that more outward? So more sort of be able to reach out to others. And we can think about all the community events that the council is running, and focus on one or two of them, and then think about, okay, now, this looks like a good opportunity to meet people. Can we do it? If we want to do it, what sort of resources do we have? So we can think about that. Roseville was doing community fun day, family fun day on Easter holidays. And what they did is that they set up fun activities for kids, and they actually invited a lot of their local neighbors to come. And I think that was quite an effective way of making themselves known to the local community, and also allowing them to be able to come in and check out the local church without having to promise that they'll come back again. So they can just come and see what is available and what they are doing.
And actually, during that time, there was a little time for a message. So the gospel message was preached to a lot of the people who came.
We can organize free barbecues or free concerts for people, and just be able to offer something which is a one-off.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, is there any other questions? We basically have to stop on because of time. Any other questions?
I think we need to deal with fear. You know, the fear of being involved with people, and you know, people ask us to do something, and our instinctive response is, "Whoa, be careful!" You know, rather than have an instinctive response of, "Oh yeah, how can I help?" You know, we kind of, our instinct is more to hold back than to reach out. I think we have to confront that.
For us, like some of my mom, just to encourage the younger generation to, because they're on deck all the time, you know, the electric device, to actually put it aside, and then it takes some training, I think, some challenge for parents, I think, to encourage our young ones to move away, but a different way to communicate. They're used to social media, they spend a lot of time online. That's how the young people communicate, unfortunately. Even when children, they actually talk to their friends on WhatsApp. And that's how they share fun stickers. They have lots of fun doing it, and it's exciting things they do there. But it's sort of, it's a new way of communication. But I think most importantly, we want to have real relationships. I mean, online relationship is all. I'm not saying that, because that, unfortunately, that's the. We are in this time that's the main way of communicating among the community at the moment, the age group.
Social media. The best thing is to preach the gospel, try the word of the ministry. And then your friend sees it, they receive it. It's like the way of door knocking, right? Instead of hanging physical tracts on your social media page. Try the maybe you read some ministry book, right? There might be a few sentences, right? Don't run, you know, people are not going to read a whole lot. This maybe 30 seconds, 20 seconds, yeah? People will be there.
See how Tim did that movie? It was very impressive. Isn't that a good example of how the young ones can actually make that?
Yeah, it's just use the word of the gospel. If you into social media, because I'm not against social media.
It can be found depressing.
I often turn off my social media. I mean, at 9 p.m. I'm offline all the time, right? So I can focus more on the printed book. Yeah, I mean, I know a lot of my friend Christian friends into social media. The best thing is to type the word of the gospel. More of Christ. People read it. They might be upset in their personal life. Sometimes your wording, it might help them, help them.
There are different ways of reaching.
Yeah, you can reach them through your, yeah. But on your social media page, don't put all the worldly things on it, because it's not going to match, because it's a mixture, right? Just put on your page, the best thing for you to do is to type the word of Christ, the word of Christ, the word of the ministry. And then you put your shopping things on it, you put your breakfast on it, people will, oh, I mean, it's a mixture. People would be thinking that, oh, they're not going to pay much attention. Yeah. So just put best thing into just enjoy the share something about your enjoyment of the Lord.
David and I have put down some references, like scriptures, articles, books that sort of inform us about how to run this workshop. So these references are actually basically verses or words from the captain, okay, basically telling us in order to reach out to others, we got to love one another. And we have to follow his great commission. We also need to be aware that time is at hand, right? The end of all things is at hand. There's only a little time that we can work, or window of time that we can work. So while we still have that time, let us do it. And so I hope that before you throw this away, to actually go through the references and actually read through them. And then if you want to find out more, there is a couple of books or articles that you can read. It's all listed at the back. So please pray about it and read through the references at least.
And also want to encourage you, if you are very interested in helping out in any future church events that reaches out to the community, I hope you get purpose in your heart. If it comes, you will put up your hand. Why I find this useful, because a long time ago when I went to some conferences, they will share something, and if you are convicted of something, they'll ask you to purpose it in your heart. And I put it in my heart so that when the time comes, you will step up. Because if you don't think about it, if you don't put it in your heart or pray about it, all this will just fly over your head.
So your hands and feet is on Monday, is that right?
Yes.
And do you run on school holidays or whole time?
Some school holidays. Not this 3 weeks, the hands and feet. It runs through the school holiday, but not on public holiday, and not on these 3 weeks we're having a break.
Okay.
But other school holidays,
we're there tomorrow,
yes.
But
Tomorrow
is the last time for the year. The next one will be the
16th
of January.
Okay.
So I encourage you. Encourage all of you, if you're interested or you want to pray about it, or you already know you want to do something, put it in your heart and to the Lord. And when it comes, step up with us.
Yeah, come and see. So come at 11 o'clock. So you can have lunch with us about 11:30. We'll cook lunch for you. And then you'll see what we do, how we fill our baskets, how we distribute the food. You're not condemned for life if you come to the hands and feet, say, oh, I must do it for the rest of my life. It's not. You can come and see, observe. Recently, we have a young people from Rosefield who came.
Carol.
And then she brought her brother as well. Because they find that the experience is rewarding, and they find that it's interesting. They may not necessarily be able to come and help us every week, but they can come and observe. So you can come and observe too and see whether this is something that you like to do. You may be able to change your opinion about it. And you may be find out, maybe this is what God wants me to do. And continue to come.
Oh, by the way, if you are coming, please let Neil know. Or any one of us. Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming with me. I hope that you get something out of it, and maybe something that might get you going, just so you're thinking about how you can be involved with the local community. Can we get home to end with the word prayer?
Lord, we thank you for this workshop, and you have opened our eyes. We pray that our hearts will be ready and prepared to go forward. And Lord, we pray that what we hear, you put it in our hearts. And let this be a seed, and then this seed can grow and to glorify you. Thank you for this time. We commit ourselves into your own hand. In Jesus' name, amen.